live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. I'm looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? It's about that time. Happy Wednesday, June 6th, 2018. It is hump day. Hope you guys are having a great one out there, and we are honored you allowed us to be a part of your weekday afternoon. I am your host, Al Martin, coming to you live here on the campus of Michigan State University, as you just heard my man Chayo say, live in Studio S on WKAR AM 870 105.1 FM, or you may be listening via our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News, or you may be listening to the podcast version on WKAR.org. However you may be listening, we appreciate your support. We've got a lot to get to on today's current sports. It's going to be a bit of a different show today. You know, usually we love to dive into sports talk, right? Discussing wins and losses and statistics and speculating on certain moves being made in a certain said sport. But today's show is going to be a bit different. It's going to take a bit of a heavy mood, not going to lie to you all, because we've got two big stories that we will be discussing throughout this hour. The first story centers on former Michigan State University president Luana K. Simon, who, of course, as we all know, decided to step down as Michigan State president not too long ago in light of the Larry Nassar scandal. Well, Luana K. Simon actually testified before a United States Senate panel yesterday afternoon, and we are going to play you audio for those that did not get a chance to see that testimony. We'll play audio from Luana K. Simon's testimony detailing how she believed Michigan State handled the Larry Nassar situation. Handled or mishandled, depending on who you're talking to, right? So after we go through that story and comb through that story and give you the details on that story, I'll have brief thoughts on it, and then we will lead you into the biggest news coming out of today. This morning, former Michigan State University football players Josh King, Demetric Vance, and Donnie Corley all were sentenced in Ingham County Court in front of Judge Rosemary Aquilina, who is the same judge who handled the Larry Nassar case, as she allowed multiple victims, you know, more than 200 victims to come forward and read, you know, victim impact statements or survivor impact statements. Judge Rosemary Aquilina actually sentenced King, Corley, and Vance due to the rape charge and the sexual assault charge that all three had undergone dating back to like last year. So we now know what the fate looks like for King, Corley, and Vance as it pertains to that situation. And we'll give you details on that as well. That will be our segment B. And then to close out the show, we'll end on less important matters concerning John Beilein, who is the current head coach of the Michigan men's basketball team. We have been discussing now for the past 2 days whether or not John Beilein, if offered the job, would become the next head coach of the Detroit Pistons. We laughed at first and said, oh, this is just a ploy possibly for John Beilein to get paid more. But then the Detroit Pistons decided to follow up in further talks with John Beilein, and this thing became a bit real yesterday. And I provided my thoughts on that story. Well, we now know that John Beilein will... I won't blow it. I'll wait for our current sports quick hit headliners, which are actually coming your way right now. Before we throw to our headliners, again, multiple ways in which you can join current sports throughout this hour. Let your voice be heard. We want to hear from you. This show is about you, the listener. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. As I also mentioned, our Facebook page is live right now. Watch the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can comment below that video and you can tweet me. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. I just want to remind you all that tonight, one of my favorite high school sporting events will be coming to a close as the DeWitt Panthers and the Grand Ledge Comets will go at it at 7 p.m. downtown Lansing inside of Cooley Law School Stadium, competing for the Diamond Classic Championship. That will be a 7 p.m. first pitch time. Myself, along with engineer Ian Hawley, will be down there providing you all with highlights and post-game coverage. DeWitt is actually the defending champion. Grand Ledge leads the way when it comes to local teams winning a Diamond Classic Championship. Pat O'Keefe always has that program humming. Should be a good game tonight. Looking forward to that. All right, the University of Michigan men's basketball coach, John Beilein, he has decided to drop out of the Pistons head coach race in a tweet. Quote, I love the University of Michigan and I am excited about coaching our men's basketball team next season and in the years to come. Let's go hang some more banners at the greatest university in the world. Hashtag go blue. Now that was a tweet that was sent out not too long ago at 12:12 p.m. So almost an hour ago, John Beilein putting to bed the rumors that he would possibly become the next head coach for the Detroit Pistons. As I mentioned on yesterday's current sports, I believe that Dwayne Casey, former head coach of the Toronto Raptors, is the leading candidate for that position. But John Beilein, sorry, Spartan fans, John Beilein will try to continue to be a bugaboo for Tom Izzo and the Michigan State men's basketball team. All right, three former Michigan State University football players accepted a plea deal to a charge of seduction in a sexual assault case and were sentenced officially this morning. 36 months probation and will have been ordered to undergo sex offender treatment. Those three former MSU football players are Josh King, Donnie Corley, and Demetri Vance. Corley, a wide receiver, King, a defensive end, and Vance, a defensive back. All three were sentenced by Ingham County Circuit Court Judge Rosemarie Aquilina. All three will also have to complete 100 hours of community service and stay off dating apps like Tinder and websites. Judge Aquilina also issued a 365-day suspended jail sentence, which the three men won't serve unless they violate probation. We actually have some sound coming from this morning's sentencing.
It taught me a very important lesson in my life, to be very careful with the choices I make and to never play with my blessings in life. I'm very sorry for letting people down that believed in me, that took the time with me to become the person and the student athlete that I am today. I do understand the whole situation. Believe that I didn't do anything wrong, as in what the rapist part of it, but I do understand that we all are hurt in this situation.
I feel sorry. I feel sorry for all the harm I caused, not just for me and like my people, but just for everyone that went through this. This was a problem for like the school, for the team, for the victim.
I got some thoughts on that. Again, in order of appearance in that sound bite, the first voice you heard was Demetric Vance, second voice Donnie Corley, and the last voice Josh King. Again, all three former MSU football players, 36 months probation, ordered to undergo sex offender treatment, also 100 hours of community service, and they must stay off of dating apps and dating websites. So, Aquilina also, Judge Rosemary Aquilina also issued a 365-day suspended jail sentence, which the three men won't serve unless they violate probation. And all three will actually be playing with one another at another school. I'll give you more details on that story as we usher you in to segment B later on this hour. All right, speaking of Michigan State football, the Spartans have beefed up their coaching staff by signing former NFL kicker and Central Michigan special teams coordinator Shane Graham, who has recently joined MSU's football team as a special teams intern, replacing last year's intern Dave Rayner. Now, Graham played in the NFL for 15 seasons and is 34th all-time in field goals made, 36th all-time in points scored. On Instagram this morning, Graham left a heartfelt message and said goodbye to the Chippewas. Quote, "Very excited to begin my next journey in my coaching career at MSU. I'm grateful, very grateful for the opportunity I had at Central Michigan University over the past year. It was hard to say goodbye for now, but I leave with amazing memories that I will cherish forever. I will always be a fan of Coach John Bonamago and the rest of the hashtag Fire Up family. Looking forward to the hard work and preparation for the 2018 season. Hashtag Go Green." Justin Rogers, a four-star offensive guard from Oak Park, he listed his top 13 schools yesterday, with both Michigan State and Michigan missing the cut. How about that? 247 Sports rates Rogers as the number 76th ranked player in the class, the top ranked player in the state of Michigan, and the number 4 ranked offensive guard nationally. Neither MSU nor U of M have any players committed for that 2020 class. Michigan State men and women's track and field programs completed the 2018 outdoor season at the NCAA championships. They will compete, I should say, starting today and ending on Saturday in Eugene, Oregon. Once again, the NCAA finals will be held at historic Hayward Field. MSU will send a total of 7 athletes in 8 events, as redshirt senior Caitlin Daniels will compete in both the shot put and the discus. On the women's side, freshman Sophia Franklin in the pole vault and sophomore Dylan McClintock in the 1500 meter will both be making their first trips to Eugene. On the men's side, seniors Max Benoit, 3000 meter steeplechase, and Tim Earnhardt in the decathlon will join sophomore Nick Garrett in the decathlon and junior Justine Kiprichich in the 1500 meter at the NCAA finals. We wish Michigan State University good luck out there. All right, the Detroit Lions opened up their 3-day mandatory minicamp yesterday with most players in attendance. Safety Glover Quinn returned to work with the team after an extended absence to be with his family and brushed off talks of retirement. Veteran journeyman Matt Castle took second team reps, pushing incumbent backup QB Jake Rudock and former Michigan QB Jake Rudock down to third team. The Detroit Tigers tossed up the goose egg last night in a seemingly non-existent offensive performance last night against the Boston Red Sox, who are first place in the MLB. Former Tiger J.D. Martinez clobbered his 20th homer of the season, and Red Sox pitcher Stephen Wright, who ended up with the dub, was lights out, only allowing 2 hits, striking out 6. The Tigers' Jahmyr Candelario, he left in the 4th after taking a hard grounder off his right hand before the ball hit his glove. Candelario's throw to first was way offline, and he immediately signaled for the trainer before being replaced by Ronnie Rodriguez. The Tigers are now 29-33, second in the American League Central. And tonight, the NBA Finals will resume. Game 3, the Cleveland Cavaliers trying to dig themselves out of this 2-0 deficit that the Warriors, the Golden State Warriors, have over them. The Cavs are going to try and slow down the rolling Warriors as they return to Cleveland now. But even with the home court advantage, will any player other than LeBron show up for Cleveland? That's the money question. One aspect of the Cavs that has remained consistent throughout their bumpy playoff run is their record at home, in which they are 8-1. The Warriors are a little less consistent on the road, where they are actually 500, 4-4 in this year's playoffs. That wraps it up for your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it pushing. Coming to you today on this hump day, June 6, 2018. I am your host of WKAR's Current Sports, Al Martin. A quick quiz. I'm going to put you on the spot here, Ian Hawley. I know you're a music guy, not real diehard, though, but I always say, I mean, this is the instrumental version of that track. Do you know what movie made this track famous?
I do not. See, I'm even less of a movie guy than I am an old school music guy.
Really?
So I'm just going to disappoint you all over the place today.
Well, do you know, I just gave you the name of the track. You know who the artist is?
No.
Oh, boy. Well, you're young, too.
I've got some homework to do.
You do. You're young, so I'm not going to hold this against you. Fight the Power by one of the greatest and most influential hip-hop groups of all time, Public Enemy. Led by, Flavor Flav. Flavor Flav was like the hype man for... I believe it was, who was that? Is that Chuck D? Yeah, Chuck D, I think, was rocking the mic, and Flavor Flav was hype man back in the day, rocking the big old clocks. You may know Flavor Flav, for our younger listeners out there, from one of the first big-time dating reality shows, Flavor of Love, which was absolutely hilarious back in the day. But Fight the Power, Spike Lee's joint, that one of the joints that really put him on the map, Do the Right Thing. If you have not, well, Ian, you have not seen Do the Right Thing. Do the Right Thing and go watch Do the Right Thing. It is one of the most, in my opinion, one of the most influential African-American movies ever made. And it really puts Spike Lee on the map. Mars Blackman in the whole Michael Jordan commercials. It's got to be the shoes. That's how that whole thing started, with MJ and Mars Blackman, played by Spike Lee. And MJ ended up making a lot of money off of that marketing campaign when Jordan shoes really became popular in the 90s. There's a famous scene where somebody, I won't give the whole movie away, but there's a famous scene where, have you seen Breaking Bad?
Yes, sir.
You know the guy who plays Gus?
Yes, sir.
He got his start and Do the Right Thing.
Ah, okay.
He's really young in that movie. He got his shoes stepped on by, he got his Jordan stepped on by somebody. He's like, man, not my Jordans, man. And he kind of goes crazy. Samuel Jackson plays a radio DJ in the movie. It's great. Rosie Perez dances her tail off in the movie. It's just a great, great film with a great message when it comes to police brutality, which is a kind of a nice segue into a topic I'm going to try and hit on near the back end of the show, because as we know, for more than a year now, there have been many athletes in the National Football League who have decided to, you know, express their right to protest. And during the national anthem, they have either been sitting down or taking a knee to raise awareness when it comes to inequality in our nation, and also pertaining to police brutality. So, which was the message that the movie Do the Right Thing was trying to convey. And that was way back. I believe that movie came out in the 80s. I think that was the 80s or early 90s. Around there. So, I'll try to get to that because President Donald Trump, he canceled the Philadelphia Eagles White House celebration a day before the visit. And I really couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe the reasoning that he gave behind it. All right, so I'm going to try and touch on that on the back end of the show. But first, what I want to get to, again, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, we've got two pretty heavy topics that pertain to Michigan State University that I want to get to right now. Luana K. Simon, former MSU president Luana K. Simon, testified before a United States Senate panel yesterday afternoon. Now, as I was doing some prep work for the show, after the show, I should say, yesterday, handling some things as far as promotion of Tuesday's show, we actually streamed that hearing on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. And I listened to the entire hearing, and I heard what Luana K. Simon had to say when it comes to her defense of how MSU handled the whole Larry Nassar sexual abuse investigation. She appeared on Tuesday under a subpoena in front of a Senate subcommittee about how MSU handled the Larry Nassar sexual abuse investigation. Now, many of you missed the testimony. You probably heard a few snippets from Luana K. Simon's testimony. And what I want to do right now, you know, it happened in the afternoon. Many of you were probably still at work. You know, it happened around 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon. Many of you still working for at least 2 hours if you got a 9 to 5. So what I want to do right now is play a few snippets from Luana Simon in regards to what she had to say. I want to start with Luana K. Simon's opening statement as she addresses a U.S. Senate panel. Here is what Luana had to say opening up.
I want to thank you for undertaking this investigation, holding the hearing to better protect the safety of athletes. Before I begin what I have planned to say, I must comment that I was prepared to come on your hearing on May 22nd voluntarily, paid for plane tickets and hotel. Unfortunately, my attorney, Mr. Morgenroth, had a conflict today with an appeals court and also had to postpone the funeral for his sister. So we had a date conflict. So I hope that you don't interpret the subpoena as something that I was unprepared to come and talk with you.
We're glad to have you here, Dr. Simon.
So I apologize for that bit of clarification. And also, before I begin my testimony, I want to again say to all the survivors, including those here today, that I am really truly sorry for the abuse you suffered, the pain it caused, and the pain it continues to cause today. I served as president of Michigan State University until January of this year, and am now president emeritus. As such, I appear today on my own behalf and do not speak for the university. I spent my entire professional career devoted to Michigan State, nearly 45 years, and saw it grow 50,000 students, 6,000 faculty, and over 7,000 other employees. We must remain proud of what Michigan State has accomplished, but I'm here today because of the unspeakable crime of one former MSU employee, Larry Nassar. Nassar was a famous sports physician who treated Olympic stars. He was also a shrewd criminal predator who cruelly damaged the lives of so many innocent survivors. Echoing a U.S. attorney, assistant U.S. attorney, it is clear now that Nassar led a double life, fooling everyone around him, patients, family, friends, colleagues, and law enforcement. I am truly horrified that Nassar's crime happened during my tenure. I did not know that he was sexually abusing young women until a former youth gymnast bravely filed her complaint in 2016. Had I known, I would have taken immediate action to prevent him from preying on additional survivors, including terminating his employment and reporting him to the police, as was done in 2016. Not a day goes by without me wishing that he had been caught and punished sooner. And not a day goes by without me wondering what we missed or what we could have done to detect his evil before the 2016 complaint. After Michigan State received that complaint, Nasser was promptly fired. Even before the investigations were completed, we took a variety of mitigating steps to protect patient and youth safety. We changed the supervision of sports medicine, moving it to the health team. We then launched an external review of all MSU clinics. Since then, MSU has taken additional steps to improve standards for patient care and youth safety, to prevent relationship violence and sexual misconduct, and to support survivors. With my full support, the MSU Board of Trustees also initiated mediation with survivors. That process eventually resulted in the current settlement in principle totaling $500 million with more than 330 survivors, including 31 known to be MSU students. I recognize that resolving the litigation and providing monetary compensation to survivors is but one step in a very long journey. I am hopeful that the settlement allows survivors to focus on their healing and recovery. In every investigation of this matter, I insisted that the university and its personnel fully cooperate. Moreover, the MSU Board of Trustees requested the Michigan Attorney General conduct a separate review of the events surrounding Nasser. That investigation is ongoing. Shortly after the allegation about Nasser surfaced, we retained two law firms to facilitate MSU's cooperation with law enforcement and provide advice in connection with anticipated litigation. A critical part of that effort, the firms were tasked with reviewing all the underlying facts and reporting those to the university. We directed the firms as well to report to MSU and law enforcement any evidence that anyone at MSU other than Nasser knew of his criminal behavior and did anything to conceal it or facilitate it. It is my understanding that no such conduct has been identified by the firms. Following the discovery of Nasser's crimes, we also commissioned a comprehensive independent review of Title IX. That review concluded MSU's policies were among the most comprehensive and robust the reviewing firm has seen. While the university devoted most of its diligent efforts over many years to improving and enhancing our programs, policies, and procedures, Nasser was able to prey on survivors under the guise of medical treatments. Again, to the survivors of Nasser's abuse, I can never say enough that I am so sorry that a trusted, renowned physician turned out to be an evil predator. And I'm sorry that we did not discover his crimes and remove him from the community sooner. Now it is my hope that we learn from these horrific events. In the end, the most important legacy of this terrible chapter will be how MSU, USGA, gymnastics, and the Olympic community and support the survivors and steps we all take to guard against sexual abuse. Success will require not just new policies, programs, and leadership at schools, sports bodies, and other organizations, but also resolve by all members of these communities to emulate the courage of the survivors, to speak up, and to take responsibility when they see injustice around them. I'll be happy to answer any questions you have.
So from there, Luana Simon opens questions. That was her opening statement, again, as she testifies before a U.S. Senate panel. The next snippet I want to play for you all comes from questions from U.S. Senator Gary Peters, who is actually a Michigan State University alum. He questions Simon about Larry Nasser's boss, former MSU Dean William Strample. Here is how that interaction went.
Senator Peters.
Thank you, Chairman Moran, and Ranking Member Blumenthal for putting together this hearing. This is indeed a very important hearing, and we have to get to the root of what was clearly some catastrophic organizational failures. In April, when former athletes testified before this subcommittee, I asked them what questions would they like me to ask of the panelists that would be here today. And Jordan Weber, who is a former Olympic gymnast and a Michigander, she responded both very emotionally and very powerfully. And I quote, she said, "Why still is the reputation of the university and money more important than the lives of hundreds of girls and women who are abused?" I can say unequivocally that the lives of survivors of sexual assault are of the utmost importance. And I'm certainly appalled by what happened, like every American. And we're also appalled by how the complaints were handled once they were made, as well as the inexcusable delay in some of those responses. We must certainly take every possible measure to ensure that a predator like Larry Nasser is never, ever in a position to exploit and abuse children and young women again. Dr. Simon, as a Michigan State alum, and I think I speak for all MSU alum and every Michigander, and I know every American who are deeply troubled and outraged by what we now know occurred on campus, perpetrated by a campus employee who is entrusted with the safety of students. His actions may have also been covered up by other employees. Although the university has agreed to pay a $500 million settlement, this issue, as you know, is far from settled. The trauma experienced by the survivors will have lasting effects that will last a lifetime, and the stain on a great university will be there for decades to come. This settlement grew directly out of a culture that may have enabled a predator. To put it simply, Larry Nassar likely didn't get away with his abhorrent behavior for years simply on his own. The chain of events over the years may demonstrate a culture of complacency at the university. So, Dr. Simon, let me first ask you a couple of questions about Larry Nassar's supervisor. In 2004, you were provost and received a memo detailing the improper behavior of William Strample, who is the dean of the medical school and Larry Nassar's supervisor. The memo cited 20 student complaints. Is that correct? Do you recall that?
The memo was given to me at one of the last days.
The last days as provost, I recall the memo. It was regarding his meeting with telemarketers, in which he made what I considered, what they considered inappropriate comments. One of them was, the reason I went to Hope is I live 50 miles away from Sin. A second one in the memo was, I may be the only straight person in Saugatuck. And that precipitated an investigation by the new provost, John Hudzik, and the in consultation with legal affairs.
In 2010 and again in 2015, additional red flags were raised formally about Strample's behavior during his performance reviews with two other provosts. Strample is apparently, which came out during these flags, an individual known for lewdly complimenting female students' anatomy as they walk through the halls of campus, among other things. Is that correct?
Senator... The provost does those reviews. I personally did not see the survey results at which you're focusing. The process is that those get reviewed with Title IX and with the legal affairs if there are issues that are raised in an anonymous fashion. And so I cannot speak to acknowledging the specifics. I've heard some additional comments made by students that have been post Dean Strample's removal as dean, and those are allegations that are being investigated.
Dr. Simon, it's my understanding that in July of 2012, you were on the NCAA Board of College Presidents that voted in favor of sanctioning Penn State. Is that correct?
Technically, I abstained as a Big Ten member.
You abstained?
Yeah.
The horrific events at Penn State certainly was a wake-up call for many people and certainly universities across the country. And I know in August of 2012, it's my understanding you sent an email to MSU faculty and staff reminding them of their responsibility to report sexual abuse and assault.
I did.
The following month, then in September of 2012, you became the chair of the NCAA Executive Committee in the wake of the implementation of the Penn State sanctions. And as chair, you said your goal was to, quote, build trust and confidence back in the system, end of quote. And then you went on to say, and I quote, the purpose is to try to incentivize people doing the right thing, and the right thing is saying something when you see something and doing something after you said something. It's really that simple, was the end of the quote. Did you mean it's so simple that you can send an email is the extent of what you need to do in order to deal with the situation?
No, I think that we're talking about a set of issues, if you think about the current situation, in which the people nearest at hand who see things need to be empowered to say them at the moment in order for us to have the transparency and the energy for things that are not just a Penn State issue or a Michigan State issue, but a societal issue. And we have yet to achieve that. So it's not that simple in the sense of simple to do. But it is a simple message that we can try to communicate to really make a difference in people's lives if we can make sure that people feel safe in doing that. There have been some progress in that regard. There's been some other things that have not succeeded in bringing that kind of energy to the system.
In 2014, you were informed of a Title IX investigation involving Larry Nassar, and responding to reporters, and it's been reported that you failed to read that report. Is that correct?
That would be an incorrect interpretation of what I believe is the case. I received an email from the Title IX officer saying that there was an individual in sports medicine being reviewed. My comment was play it with a straight bat. It was done in the system appropriately in terms of the system. I do not normally see any Title IX report, particularly one with no finding. They're sent to the responsible administrator, and in this case also to the Office of the Provost.
You said you didn't see one. Did you ask for the report?
I didn't ask for the report because it was simply, I don't know why she gave me that notice. In hindsight, I met as provost president with a Title IX person periodically. We went through hot button issues, any issues of complaints that were problematic to her. But I did not read that complaint and not see it in 2016.
Well, that's good.
It was a no finding.
Swiner, I think I've run out of time. I will have more questions if we have a second round, but thank you.
Again, that was questioning coming from Senator Gary Peters at yesterday afternoon's United States Senate panel testimony from former Michigan State University President Luana K. Simon. A few things I want to note in that snippet. Gary Peters noted the $500 million settlement for the survivors of Larry Nassar. Later on in the hearing, Luana Simon is questioned about the $500 million settlement as to who will pay for it, how the university plans on getting those funds out to the survivors. And Luana K. Simon basically said, look, I'm not the president anymore. It's not my responsibility to figure that out anymore, basically was the message to the panel. And then she, you know, is followed up in question by that statement as to why it's in her opening statement. Is she trying to take credit for, you know, the $500 million settlement? And she says, look, well, I was in the preliminary discussions of this $500 million settlement. How they figure out how to get that money out to the survivors, I have no idea. It's not my responsibility right now because I am no longer in that position. Also, in the final minutes of what you just heard, Senator Peters asked Luana Simon about the 2014 Title IX reports concerning William Strample and complaints. You know, 20 complaints, more than 20 complaints concerning William Strample from students. And she said that, look, quote, play it with a straight bat. And she didn't ask for the results of the report. She did not see the report because it was a no finding. But you would think, if, you know, allegations of something of that nature, that serious, you would think that Luana Simon would want to see that report and go through it herself. I didn't find that a great answer to what Senator Peters brought up. And when it comes to William Strample, this week a judge ruled that this former MSU dean, William Strample, and former boss of Larry Nassar, he will stand trial on charges of criminal sexual conduct and misconduct in office. Strample is the former dean of the College of Osteopathic Medicine, and Larry Nassar's, again, former boss. He is accused of using his position to sexually abuse female students. The defense said Strample was not a public figure in arguing for the misconduct in office charge to be dismissed, but they added even if he were, his alleged conduct does not rise to criminal behavior. They also said just because his alleged behavior was, quote, creepy or, quote, weird to some, it does not make it criminal. But on the other side, the prosecution painted Strample as a predator and a master manipulator and say as dean, he should have been held to a higher standard. Testimony was heard from a computer forensics analyst who testified to pornographic videos and images that were found on Strample's work computer. Defense attorney John Dakmic objected to the testimony, saying the images were not relevant. But Judge Richard Ball allowed the images to be admitted. Now, the prosecution also called three of Strample's alleged victims. One of them said Strample made sexually suggestive comments to her during a meeting about an exam she took for a class. She also said Strample brought up the topic of naked photographs, and she believes at one point he indirectly asked her to send him naked photos of herself. Another person testified that Strample groped her and later, you know, leered her at her while she was having conversation with Strample's wife. Quote, I told him to look at my face, and he told me eye candy was eye candy, end quote. So Judge Ball, he bound Strample for trial around 3:15 p.m. Tuesday. And his next court date now is scheduled for June 20th in Ingham County Circuit Court. So later on this month. You talk about enabled behavior. We talk about that a lot when discussing Larry Nassar. How was he able to operate under the guise of medical treatment for these countless gymnasts who were abused, these survivors who were abused at his hands? There has to be enabled behavior that was around Larry Nassar in leadership positions to possibly put an end to this and stop this. Well, from the looks of things, William Strample, Larry Nassar's boss, he's in hot water himself. So what does that tell you? Failed leadership from end to end here. And you know what? Before we hit our first break, we'll only take one break on today's current sports due to these two heavy topics that we are presenting to you all. I want to hear your thoughts on this. I'm basically laying everything out on the table here and combing through a few of the snippets and these stories, because I want to hear from MSU alum, maybe current MSU students. How do you feel about this story? What did you think from what you just heard from Luana K. Simon, former MSU president Luana K. Simon, her opening statement and her statement in that interaction with Senator Gary Peters in regards to William Strample? And also, you know, this is the story that we also talked about. One final bite before we hit this first break. The whole John Engler situation, when it comes to a former gymnast showing up to the Michigan State Board of Trustees meeting and stating that John Engler had an informal conversation with her and offered her money in order to, you know, to quiet her, to not come forth and tell her story. Well, Luana Simon was asked about that interaction by United States Senator Richard Blumenthal. And he brought up that moment and he asked Luana K. Simon a very direct question in regards to that interaction between John Engler and this former gymnast. Here is that snippet.
Dr. Simon, are you aware of a meeting that occurred between the current president, Mr. Engler, and one of the athletes who met with him, who was told, specifically Kaylee Lawrence, who is with us today in the audience, told by Mr. Engler, and I'm going to quote her, Mr. Engler then looked directly at me and asked, right now, if I wrote you a check for $250,000, would you take it? When I explained that it's not about the money for me and that I just want to help, he said, well, give me a number. This meeting, and I'm asking you whether you're aware of it, indicated clearly that Mr. Engler was offering money for her potential silence. Are you aware of that meeting?
Only through a newspaper account afterwards.
Would you have made that kind of offer?
I did not. We tried to sustain the mediation process as was appropriate with the litigation. And I think that we are greatly enhanced by the voices of the gymnast and other survivors, because it is important to hear and hear loudly what their experiences were.
Well, let me ask it somewhat differently. You're the former president of Michigan State University. Would you have taken a meeting with a plaintiff involved in ongoing litigation as the president of Michigan State, with Michigan State being the defendant? Would you have taken a meeting with that young woman without her attorney present?
Not to make an offer for any kind of settlement agreement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
It took Luana K. Simon a bit of a pause there, which really shocked me. I really thought when watching that interaction, again, between Luana K. Simon and U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal, discussing the interaction, the alleged interaction between Larry Nassar survivor and former gymnast Kaylee Lorenz and interim Michigan State University president John Engler. Mr. Engler then looked directly at me and asked, right now, if I wrote you a check for $250,000, would you take it? Lorenz went on to say, when I explained that it's not about the money for me and that I just want to help, he said, well, give me a number. When Senator Blumenthal asked Luana Simon there, just in that very end snippet of that snippet, would you have taken an informal meeting with Lorenz about a settlement, Luana kind of paused and waited about, you know, that was about like 2 or 3 seconds before she said, no, not without an attorney present. Thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. If you would like to hear more coverage from former MSU president Luana Simon during that Senate hearing, just simply go to WKAR.org. We have a ton of sound bites that, due to time, I won't play the rest of them. But if you want to go online on our website and listen to many more interactions between Luana Simon and that Senate panel, again, visit WKAR.org. What I want to do right now, it's our first break. When I come back, we are going to discuss the other big news coming out of Michigan State University, that concerning the three Michigan State football players who were sentenced this morning in Ingham County Circuit Court pertaining to a sexual assault case. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
I mean, a very important lesson in my life, to be very careful with the choices I make and to never play with my blessings in life. I'm very sorry for letting people down that believed in me, that took the time with me to become the person and the student athlete that I am today.
I do understand the whole situation, believe that I didn't do anything wrong as in what the rapist part of it, but I do understand that we all are hurt in this situation.
I feel sorry. I feel sorry for all the harm I caused, not just for me and like my people, but just for everyone. School, for the team, for the victims.
A bit of a heavy day here on today's Current Sports. I just finished combing through Luana Simon's, a bit of Luana Simon's United States Senate panel questioning that occurred yesterday afternoon. And before I get to what you just heard were the voices of former MSU football players, Demetric Vance, Donnie Corley and Josh King, as they were sentenced this morning in Ingham County Court in front of Judge Rosemarie Aquilina. Before I get to that story now to close out the show, again, we're taking your calls and getting your thoughts on what Luana Simon had to say. Maybe you even have thoughts on the sentencing of King, Corley, and Vance as well. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We do have Jim that wants to weigh in on the Luana Simon testimony from yesterday. Jim, you are on Current Sports. Welcome.
Thank you, sir. I sure do appreciate it. Just a couple real quick thoughts. For her to say that she had no knowledge prior to 2 years ago of this situation is just ludicrous. I mean, I'm out there almost daily, and I knew about it before that just from the student athletes. So, I mean, I have five daughters. The more I tell them not to talk, they talk. Now, we'll just say generously, 100 young women out there were silenced at Michigan State. That's just not logical, let alone borderline crazy talk. And then Title IX is her responsibility. That doesn't fall on anybody else's shoulders. That's not the coaches. It might go through the coaches, but it directly relates to her job description. So for her to say secondly in that interview, well, the Title IX was an email that didn't address the situation, to me, that's just flat-out perjury. So I don't think her testimony is as bad as Ferguson on Tim Stout or worse. So I really get a bad vibe from the whole thing.
I do, too. Jim, well said. Thank you so much for weighing in, my man. Really appreciate it. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And this is the thing, to just piggyback off of Jim's first point there, to say that she didn't know. Even if she didn't know, that is failed leadership. I have said that numerous times. You are the president of Michigan State University. Allegations of that magnitude, of that seriousness. If you don't know, I think it's a window into how great of a leader you are. Just saying. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We have a little under 5 minutes left here. Ben comments on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKARnews. I won't read the entire comment. It's a lengthy one. But Ben says, Luana K. Simon is just as guilty as Larry Nassar and William Strample because she knew about all of this along and knew it was going on. And she told the victims to keep their mouth shut. That's Ben's opinion. There's a lot of emotions that go through my mind when discussing this. And again, we've been talking about this story since the beginning of this year. And you guys know how I feel about it. I think that Luana did the right thing in stepping down. But my goodness, you talk about failed leadership. This is, and then William Strample. My goodness, it's really hard to put it into words, folks. So from that story to now, the Demetric Vance, Donnie Corley, and Josh King story. News broke this morning that King, Corley, and Vance, three former Michigan State football players, they were charged by Ingham County Circuit Judge Rosemarie Aquilina. She has sentenced them to 36 months probation in order to order them to undergo sex offender treatment. They accepted a plea deal to a charge of seduction in this sexual assault case. And also they will have to undergo and complete 100 hours of community service and stay off dating apps and websites. If they violate probation, they will be issued a 365-day suspension in jail. If they do violate that probation, as Ian Hawley just played coming out of our first and only break here on Current Sports. You heard Vance, Corley, and King talk. And what the statement that really shocked me, Ian, was Corley saying that we all are hurt in this situation. You know, when you say something like that in a situation like this, where obviously seeing as though you're punished in some way, shape, or form in this case, you've done something wrong. Because if you didn't, you wouldn't be punished here. They got off. They're very fortunate. These brothers should be counting their blessings right now because this could have ended up very bad. But saying that we all are hurt in this situation, you may think that, but you don't say that in front of the judge. You know, you want to come off as sympathetic and as genuine and sorry as you can in front of Judge Marie Aquilina in that moment. To say we all are hurt in this situation, just the wrong thing to say. These three young men will be playing football together at a university. And I'm looking here to find the, I believe it's a community college. I have to look up the name of the community college. But they accepted these plea deals. And what I also want to do, we have this queued up in, this is a snippet from attorney Karen Truskowski, who reads a victim impact statement on behalf of the woman who was assaulted by these three former MSU football players. Here is Karen Truskowski.
My whole body hurt and I felt sick to my stomach. I had to take pills every day for a month. Those pills made me feel like I was dying. Telling my parents was one of the worst parts. That made it real, seeing their pain like that. I wish I could make it go away. My client is doing well, and I'm sure that when I call her, she will be happy to know that this is all over.
Do you feel this is too light of a sentence?
It was the appropriate sentence under the circumstances. My client did not want to see these young men, you know, go to prison, and she wants to see them take care of their lives just like she needs to take care of hers.
What do you make of Vance and the way he just appeared in court and carried himself? Didn't seem like he had much remorse. I mean, that just, it was the impression he appeared to give everybody.
I don't know that these young men at this point have absorbed what's really happened. And I am hopeful that as time goes by and they get the counseling that the judge has ordered, that it will become apparent to them that this was probably not an appropriate action on their part.
How is your client holding up?
She's doing very well. She's smart. She's very mature and is doing as best as she possibly could under the circumstances.
Is she still in MSU?
I'm not going to comment on that. She is not done with school, but I'm not going to. I don't want to go into anything else.
What do you make of the three of them now going on to play football at the same school?
Well,
it seems a little odd.
Good luck to them. I hope that, again, that they see the opportunity.
So, again, that's a snippet from Karen Truskowski, who is the attorney of the victim here. I'm going to have more thoughts on that story to lead tomorrow's Current Sports. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. Take it all in. We'll respond to all of what you just heard tomorrow. Be easy, people.